Many more began to believe because of his word. They said then to this woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I think I have the same cough. I think if we're honest, we can say that each one of us wants this. We want to be seen, we want to be heard, and we want to be loved. To be seen, to be heard, and to be loved. And you wouldn't think it's so difficult, but it is. It is. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us build up walls of protection around ourselves. So many of us become hardened as rocks. And we need Moses or Jesus to take his staff and tap us, to melt us away, to open us up, to know that we are known, loved, and heard. What stands for me every year in this gospel that we have is another altercation where Jesus is dealing with an outsider. Dealing with a Samaritan. And she's quick to point out the differences. And she herself is an outsider in her own group. For she comes to the well at noon. Who goes to get their water at noon? She's an outcast in her own community. And the one who asks for the water in the glass or to have some water is Jesus, but he turns it totally around. And when it's ended, she's the one asking, "Give me the living water." We all want that. We feel the energy in the room today with all of these new ones who are joining. That the Lord would pour out, as St. Paul says in that second reading, pour into our hearts his life. Help us melt away the barriers that we create, to see ourselves on this globe as one people, all wanting to be loved. That's as quick as I can make it.
Now I will listen.
Oh no, Deb's talking after the homily. She's going to ask us for money again. No, I'm not. I promise. Just a few reflections on this gospel today. It's so rich with symbolism and metaphor. For example, the events in this passage took place about noon. When Jesus is before Pilate on Good Friday, it is about the sixth hour. It's about noon. And Jesus is thirsty here. The people at the wedding of Cana were thirsty. And on the cross, Jesus says, "I thirst." So there's lots of layers of meaning and metaphor throughout John's Gospel, including this passage. And this morning I'm going to talk just a little bit about the metaphor of water. Water, the sustenance of life. We all know we need water to survive. The ancient Israelites certainly knew that and felt that. The first reading from the book of Exodus takes us on their journey away from Egypt, and they're complaining to Moses because they don't have the water they need to survive. And in our gospel, we have the woman at the well fetching water for her survival, for her sustenance. The water she's looking for is a draft from a well. And back then, the well water was usually clean and good to drink. Often, though, the well water would have an off taste because of minerals present in it. That was the water that this woman was getting for her sustenance. Still, maybe smelly well water. And then she meets Jesus, who offers her not still water from the bottom of a cistern, but a spring of water welling up within her, living water. Metaphorically, you and I can survive on the still water from a well. Water that keeps us alive and allows us to go through our days taking care of ourselves, pretty much staying in our lane, staying safe. Like the woman at the well, Jesus offers us more. Jesus offers us living water. The water of our baptism that wells up within each of us. It's the living water that leads us to create shalom. It's the living water that gives us the courage, the energy, the ideas to do the work to build shalom, to build God's kingdom. A couple examples. We have two women in the parish who run our grief group. Like all of us, both have experienced loss in their lives. And on two Saturdays a month, they create a time of support and care for others who are experiencing a loss. They don't attempt to take the pain of grief away. Shalom is not magic. It's not that saccharinely sweet, oh, everything's going to be okay. They share one another's heartbreak, and they offer support. They lighten the heavy load of grief. On those Saturday mornings, they're creating shalom, connection, community. That is letting the living water of our baptism well up to bring about new lives. The people in that grief group, the facilitators and members alike, bring about new life and new connections in the midst of grief. Here's another example. In our world now, where violence and war seem to thrive, we have an active nonviolence group in this parish. They work peacefully for change. And they do that in many, many ways. Living water welling up within them to create shalom. And our actions in this don't have to be monumental. We don't have to have some great, new, huge endeavor. Our moving to shalom may simply be being gentle with a chronically cranky neighbor. Or maybe even being gentle with ourselves. In 4 weeks, this baptismal font will be filled. Each of us on that Easter will be blessed with that holy water. So we need to ask ourselves, how will we let the waters of eternal life well up within us? How will we let this living water, this presence of God within us, lead us to creating shalom? Some questions to ponder on this third Sunday of Lent.